Well, turn in your Bibles, if you would please, to one of the most precious passages of Scripture in all of the Bible, Psalm 23. We're journeying together through the Song of the Shepherd. Find Psalm 23. Now, as you're turning there, I want you to listen. Tonight, we're having our Friend Day kickoff service, so you want to be here. We want to labor together and impact our community. You know, so often people think, well, I need to go to the Amazon, or I need to go here or there to reach people that have never heard. I just want to tell you, there's people living in the shadow of the steeple of Calvary Baptist Church that have never heard. Now, while we want to reach the folk in the Amazon and the distant land, we also want to be faithful in walking across the street and reaching our friends, neighbors, co-workers, family that need the Lord. And we want to rise up together and do that. Be here tonight, 6 o'clock for the evening service. Of course, we'll be at preaching and regular music, but we're going to be kicking off the Friend Day. It's something everybody can do to be a bringer and impact somebody's life with the gospel of Christ. Psalm 23, find your place there if you would please. And let's begin reading together in verse number 1. Psalm 23 and verse number 1. Notice the Bible said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What wonderful words. Isn't that a blessing? I want to draw your attention to the last part of verse number 2. "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Let's pray and ask God to help us this morning. Father, thank You for Your goodness in our lives. I'm glad that, Lord, there was a day in my life I came to know the Good Shepherd. And Lord, I'm glad that You're the great shepherd in my life who cares for me, leads me, guides me, meets my needs. Lord, You're so faithful. Father, I pray that You would help me today as I expound what it means to be one of Your sheep. Lord, to understand Your working in our lives, what You want to do in every person's life. Lord, to help folk know that if they are not one of Your sheep, they can be. Lord, that You desire to be their shepherd today. You desire to be a part of their lives. You desire to have a relationship with them. And Lord, they can have that by faith in Your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray that You would help me to have clarity today as I preach. Lord, compassion in my heart. And Lord, above all, that I can make much of Jesus. And we sure would thank You for what You do today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, I ran across an article this week that I thought was rather funny. Now, I don't endorse things that are within the article, but I did think it was funny. It was an article about baby boomers then and now. And somebody asked me what generation I'm in. I have no idea. I'm probably in between somewhere, and so who knows. But anyway, for baby boomers then, thinking back, it was getting out to a new hip joint. And now it's getting a new hip joint. Then in that day, for baby boomers, it was acid rock, and today it's acid reflux. Then it was being called into the principal's office, and now it's storming into the principal's office. Then it was long hair. You remember, it was all about that. Now it's longing for hair for baby boomers. Then it was passing the drive. Boy, if I could just pass the driving test. Now, it's if I could just pass the vision test. In that day, it was trying to look like Marlon Brando or Elizabeth Taylor. And now it's trying not to look like Marlon Brando or Elizabeth Taylor. In that day, it was worrying about no one coming to your party. And now it's worrying about no one coming to your funeral. And so there's always something that people worry about or are dissatisfied with, you know. And let me just tell you, while as believers we wouldn't live and we wouldn't endorse those type of things and the lifestyle that would characterize that generation, it does help us to understand the world that we live in. That we live in a world that's anything but satisfied. In our consumer-driven society, people are on a fervent yet elusive quest for that which will make them happy. We're a generation always after something bigger, faster, thinner, nicer. We're the generation that's plagued with the unhappiness epidemic. Matter of fact, there was an article written on the subject, "Are You Happy?" And the studies found that perhaps only really 20% of Americans would call themselves or characterize themselves as being happy, a happy person. I talk to people in public. I try to speak to everybody because the Lord gives you an opportunity to be a blessing, and I want to be a blessing. I want to share the gospel. I want to help people know the Lord, and I'll talk to people, and I'll ask them, I'll say, "How are you?" That's just a common salutation we have in our day. How are you? Now, there's some people you wish you didn't ask them how they were for the next hour, you know, you're learning. But anyway, but here's how I get the reply. "Well, I'm living the dream. I'm living the dream." Yet if I sat down and talked with them, in reality, their dream is a facade. It's a mirage. It's an elusive fantasy that they're frantically searching after. But if I were to really get into the brass tacks of their life, they're inwardly broken, they're empty, they're unsatisfied, they're anything but happy. And maybe that describes you this morning. Matter of fact, one man said of Western men, "We're richer, healthier, and better educated than ever before, and yet as we nibble our Happy Meals, happiness itself seems hard to find." Another wrote that he wrote an article called "Wanting More in an Age of Plenty," and he said, "Our wallets are fat, but our souls are empty." He went on to write, "The paradox of our time in history is that we spend more, have more, we spend more but have less, we buy more but we enjoy it less." The pursuit of peace and satisfaction and happiness apart from God is a futile endeavor. Someone described it like chasing a greased pig. The moment we think we have it in our hands, it slips away. You know what? Jesus described it this way. He described the emptiness in the heart of man. He described it in terms of a sheep having no shepherd. They're alone. They're broken. They're in a point in their lives to which they need someone to help them and guide them and rescue them and care for them, but yet they're all alone. They're a sheep without a shepherd. Friend, can I tell you, a sheep needs a shepherd to survive, and friend, you and I need Jesus. I'm glad there's a shepherd who knows us, that knows we have need of these things, and I'm talking about it. He's the answer, and He's promised to meet those needs. He is my source of peace and satisfaction and happiness. And friend, He can be your source of peace and satisfaction and happiness. You find it in Psalm 23. Somebody said it's the best known, least believed passage in the Bible. Psalm 23 is described as a psalm for today. It's what I'm going through today. It's the answer for today. And notice in Psalm 23:1, he said, "The Lord is." See, it's a psalm of today. "He is my shepherd." It's not that He was or He will be, but right now He's at work in my life. And notice it's a psalm of relationship. Look again at verse number 2. "He maketh me. He leadeth me." Boy, it speaks of the bond of a shepherd and his sheep, and it pictures the bond of the Lord's sheep with our heavenly shepherd. It's a matter of relationship and fellowship, and it pictures for us the faithful leading and the tender care of our shepherd, that He knows my needs. He knows your needs, and He's promised to care for them. When you come to verse 2, you see green pastures and still waters. The green pasture speaks of a worry-free life, of resting in the care and the arms of the shepherd. And can I tell you, God doesn't want me to live a worry-filled life. He wants me to live a faith-filled life. He wants me to rest in the green pastures of His care for me, His love, His concern. Friend, listen. Hey, I need to recognize my shepherd has this. He's in control. But then He leads me to still waters. It literally means He leads me to watering places. Here, the still waters, I believe, speaks to me of peace and satisfaction and happiness. When we think of this verse, our minds are filled with images of these rolling meadows as far as the eye can see. Slow-moving, meandering brook or stream. Can I tell you, that wasn't what's in David's mind as the Holy Spirit was inspiring and he was penning these precious words? They didn't know anything like that in his day. They didn't have long, rolling meadows as far as the eye could see. No, where David shepherded his sheep was in the Judean wilderness. It was arid, it was dry, it was rocky, it was barren. Grass and water was scarce. That's why the shepherd provided those things. The good shepherd knew how and where to provide the green pastures. He knew how to provide the still watering places for the sheep. Let me just tell you, sheep are terribly afraid of water. If you had a wool overcoat from nose to rump, you'd be afraid of water too. They got spindly little legs. They can't swim. And by about the moment that overcoat of wool hits the water, it begins to absorb that water and down they go. They would drown apart from somebody rescuing them. They didn't like water. Matter of fact, they didn't drink out of anything that moved. They would go up to ponds of water, or most often in that day there were wells that were dug with cisterns, and the shepherd would then reach in and he would laboriously draw water, bucket after bucket after bucket of water, and fill the cistern. And then once the water had stilled in that cistern, in that pool, the sheep would then come up into water. He led them to still waters. You know, and sheep, in order for them to lay down, they got to be properly hydrated. Sheep are 70% water. Every cell of their body cries out for water. Proper hydration is necessary for digestion and metabolism and the entire overall health of the sheep. And so the picture of the shepherd leading his sheep beside the still waters or up to the still quiet pools of water, the wells, the cisterns, the pools of water, where they would then drink. And in each case, it was provided for them by the shepherd. Can I remind us, our God is saying He knows our needs and He's promised to provide those needs. Water is vital to the physical life. So the sheep can't live without water. By the way, you and I can't either. But what that water physically was to a sheep is true spiritually of every one of us. Our souls are thirsty today. They're in need of a spiritual water that only our heavenly great shepherd can provide. And so David said, He leadeth me beside the still waters. He leads me to the watering places where He satisfies my soul. And as I began to ponder and pray and meditate about this passage and ask God the truth of it, the Lord brought some things to my mind as it relates to the wells of water and the watering places of God. And let me just tell you something. Friend, listen, God wants to fill the emptiness and He wants to fill the brokenness of your heart. He wants to take the dissatisfaction and He wants to bring a heavenly satisfaction to your life. But in order to do that, you need to follow Him and let Him lead you beside the waters, the still waters of His salvation. Would you jot down in the margin of your Bible, Isaiah chapter 12 and verse number 3. Listen to this. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Friend, let me just tell you something. The great shepherd today, He wants to lead every man, woman, boy, and girl to His well of salvation. Therefore with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation. Aren't you glad that's a well that'll never run dry? I'm glad God can save anybody, aren't you? And He wants to save everybody. I want you to hold your place and turn with me to John chapter 4. I want you to see a thirsty sheep. It was a sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, I must needs go through Samaria. It was there He went out of His way because He had an appointment with a thirsty woman. She was a Samaritan. She was a social outcast. It was there at the middle of the day. You know, women drew water early in the morning and late in the evening. She was at midday because she didn't want to be around the other women because she was an outcast. She was looked down upon. Her life was an absolute mess. She was broken. She was empty. She was searching. She had gone from man to man to man, seeking that which would satisfy the inner thirst of her soul. The Lord would tell her, said, listen, you've had five husbands and the man you have now is not even your husband. Can I just say something to everybody here this morning? Can I just help us to understand that God alone can fill the emptiness of our lives, that no person can heal your brokenness, no person can bring satisfaction to your life, no place, no thing can fill the emptiness in our lives. Friend, listen, your heart, your soul was made in such a way that only God can fill it. And you can go and try to drink from every well you want to drink from this morning. It'll leave you empty. It'll leave you broken. It'll leave you dissatisfied. It'll leave you thirsting for more because this world cannot satisfy you. But friend, I'm here to tell you there's a shepherd, there's a God in heaven who can. And we find her coming, seeking to satisfy the physical thirst, but yet there's an inner thirst of emptiness and void in her life and a brokenness. And she comes there to dwell, to draw water in the middle of the day. And there's the Lord. There's the great shepherd waiting on her. There's a sheep that He wants to become her shepherd. Look, if you would, John chapter 4 and verse number 7. The Bible said, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink." It's same thing is saying to us, well, how's the weather today? Just a natural opening to enter into her life and begin a dialogue that He could bring her to Himself. Verse 9, the woman, she's surprised. She said, "Then saith the woman of Samaria, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? Don't you know who I am?" Listen, the Lord knew very well who she was. He knew everything about her. He knew her better than she knew herself. But He didn't avoid her. He didn't send her away. He didn't rebuff her. He lovingly and longingly reached out to her. Went on to say in this verse, He said, "For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Don't you know who I am and what you are?" And of course, He had on the robe of a rabbi, a teacher, and she was expecting Him to castigate her. He was expecting Him to give her an earful about her life, but instead He lovingly reached. Can I tell you, friend, a sinner doesn't need for me to give them an earful. A sinner needs me to tell them about where they can find water to drink to satisfy the thirst of their soul. That's what they need. They don't need somebody to look down on them. They need somebody to love them. I'm glad somebody loved me. Verse 10, Jesus is going to answer. He said, Jesus said unto her, "If thou knewest the gift of God, if you knew what I had to offer and who it is that saith to thee, if you knew who I was," because He knows in her mind, she's thinking, "Do you not know who I am? Do you not know what I am and you're talking to me?" He said, "If you knew who I was, you'd ask of me. He said, who it is that saith thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of Him and He would have given thee living water." He said, "If you knew who I was, you'd ask me to give you some water." Boy, her interest is piqued. And then He says something. Look at verse 13. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again." You've been coming to this well all of your life. And every day of your life you come to this well and you draw water and you drink, but you thirst again. And He's saying, listen, you drink of this physical water and you know what? You're going to have to come again and you're going to thirst again and again and again and again. But I believe He was also mentioning, and I believe in a very real way, I believe it was dawning on her heart that He was sharing with her that all the other wells she had been drinking of, the worldly wells, the wicked wells, the things that had so characterized her life, He said, listen, you can keep drinking out of them, but they're never going to satisfy. You're going to thirst again. But look at verse 14. "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." And I love verse 15. Boy, she had heard it. She had heard enough. She wanted it. Verse 15, the woman saith him, "Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. I want that water." Can I tell you, that day, friend, that woman exchanged her water pot for a well. She drank deep of the water of life, the well of salvation. It forever quenched the thirst of her soul. In the next scene, you're going to see her going back into the city saying to everybody, "Hey, listen, I'm a social outcast. You know who I am. You know what I am. You know what care. But come see a man that told me all that I've done. Is not this the Christ? I want you to see the one that changed my life. I drank of His well and I'm never going to thirst again." What a blessed truth. I'm glad for the night I drank of that well. Amen. Friend, I'm glad you can drink of that well today. Jesus said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Listen, I don't know who you are, where you are, what you're going through. I don't know what characterizes your life, but God does. And I'm here to tell you, the great shepherd loved you, and the good shepherd gave His life for you, and He's offering you a still water. He's offering you the watering place of salvation today, and He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to save your soul. He wants to bring you in a right relationship with Him. Friend, He wants to be your shepherd. Preacher, does that mean that I'll never be thirsty again? And here's what it does mean. It means I don't have to go anywhere else to satisfy the thirst. I have a well that'll never run dry. Can I tell you the reason our world is so thirsty, so empty, so broken, so dissatisfied? They're drinking from the wrong wells. Jeremiah 2:13, the Bible said, "For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out. They've broken them out. They've carved out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. Wells that can never truly satisfy. You have to drink again and again and again." Friend, listen, I tell you, these wells that a person can drink of, they're addictive wells. And the reason they're addictive wells is because that for that moment, it temporarily takes away the emptiness. It temporarily makes me forget my brokenness. It temporarily brings a sense of satisfaction, but it doesn't last. And that's why they have to go back and they got to hit that marijuana again. That's why they have to have the alcohol again. That's why they have to have the moment of pleasure again. That's why they have to look at pornography again, because they're dirty wells that will never satisfy the soul. But they bring just a moment of temporary satisfaction, and they go back and they go back and they go back until suddenly that well consumes them and it leaves them broken and empty and a mess. And Jesus said, "I've got an answer for you. I've got a well. Once you drink of this, and you'll not have to go back to those old wells again. You can just keep coming back to this one." Can I tell you, when you come to the fountain of living waters and drink from the well of His salvation, I don't ever have to go back to the muddy wells I used to drink out of. I don't have to drink out of the mud puddles this world has to offer. They tried on TV, make it look so good. They'll have that group of people sitting out there with whatever beer it is, and they'll say, "It doesn't get any better than this." They're right. It goes downhill from there, because they never turn the billboard around and never show you the mom and daddy walking to a cemetery burying a child that's died because of a drunkenness and alcohol poison, or because of a being in a car with somebody intoxicated and killed as a result of that. They never show you that picture, do they? They never show you the beaten, battered people that comes from alcohol addiction. They never show you that. They just want to show you how good it is, what restaurants it's going to bring.
That's good.
It's just a dirty well. I can't understand why Christians want to claim that they can moderately, socially drink of that well and somehow of alcohol, and somehow it's acceptable to God. And it leaves people's lives battered and broken and ruined. There's nothing good about it. We got people, the craze is now to build vineyards and make wine. The first time you see a vineyard and a wine in the Bible, you see a drunken Noah in a tent in a shameful condition. Let me just tell you something. Alcohol won't do anything but eventually lead you to a place of shame. Opioid addiction. I'm just going to tell you, folks, and I'm probably going to make somebody mad, and that's okay. I'm not a performer. Not an entertainer. I'm just a preacher. But I love you. And I'm going to tell you what, this CBD oil and this hemp stuff is just a segue to the legalization of marijuana in North Carolina. And I'm going to tell you something, the marijuana of today is not the marijuana you knew about in 1960. It's refined. It's much more potent and powerful and addicting. I don't know how I got off on that, but it was good. I feel better. Now, hey, you can do what you want to do. I'm just telling you. All it's doing is opening the door to big business in our country. It's going to be the new alcohol. It's going to be the answer to the financial woes of people. And I'm going to tell you what it's going to be. It's going to just be more broken homes, more broken lives, more addiction. It ain't going to lead to anything good. You say, "Preacher, tell me about that well." I'm here to tell you, friend, there's a well out there that you can drink of and never have to thirst again. His name is Jesus. He is the well. These wells will never truly satisfy, but listen, let Him lead you to the still water of the well of His salvation. Secondly, not only is there the still waters of His salvation, but He wants to lead us to the still waters of His Spirit. Turn to John chapter number 7. Would you turn there? John chapter 7 and verse number 37. Once you're saved and you've drank from the well of salvation, I'm glad I can drink from the well of His Spirit, aren't you? That's where the joy comes from being saved and having the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Have you ever thought about this, Christian? God's not just with you, He's in you. When you drink of the well of salvation, you become a well. You are a well. I don't have to go looking for the well, it's in me. Look what Jesus said. Look at John chapter 7, verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink." You know what? We could stop and give invitation right there. Amen. Friend, if you're thirsty, come to Him. Yes. Let me just tell you, you look around and you say, well, boy, here's a group of people, and boy, they look so nice and so wonderful, and you do. Let me just tell you, there's a whole bunch of thirsty people in here that drank from the well of salvation one day and it changed their life. And we're no different than you are, friend. And if you're here today and you say, "Preacher, you've described me. I'm empty, I'm broken, I'm dissatisfied. I don't know that I'm right with God. I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity." You're around a whole lot of people that were one time just like that. And thank God there was a day we stepped forward and drank from the well of salvation. And listen, we just want you to drink from that well today. Nobody's going to look down on anybody. Nobody's going to laugh. Nobody's going to make fun. We're just going to rejoice because you've experienced what we've experienced. Look at verse 38. "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly." That means his innermost being. The belly, to the Jewish mind, was the seat of the emotions, because we feel and hear. And said, "Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Wow, that's pretty powerful, isn't it? "But this spake he," verse 38, "of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." When you drink of the well of salvation, Jesus said, you become a well. There's within the heart of every child of God an artesian well, a water source, so to speak, that fills our lives and can fill it to overflowing and spill out into the lives of everybody. Hey, you know what, friend? We ought to get so happy in Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about a silly thing. I'm talking about a genuine joy of the Lord in our heart that can be there in the midst of pain and heartache and difficulty. Friend, listen, God's joy is not based on how I feel, what I'm going through, what I'm experiencing. Friend, it's not something that comes outwardly. Oh no, it's something that comes from inside of me, because listen, I've drank into the well of the salvation. I have the well of His Spirit. Friend, listen, everything's all right in the Father's house. And it needs to spill over in your cubicle tomorrow. It needs to spill over in your place of business. It needs to spill over in your factory. It needs to spill over in the job site. Mom, it needs to spill over in your home. Dad, our home. Our family needs to see the joy of the Lord in our hearts. Our society needs to see that there's something different about us. But listen, it's not just joy, but what about love? What about peace? What about gentleness? I'm going to get there. Can I tell you, the presence of the sweet Spirit of God permanently lives within the heart of every child of God. That's what He's talking about here when He talks about the well of His Spirit. Philippians 1:19 calls it the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, just like His wells, His supply never runs dry. How do you drink of the Spirit, preacher? Well, if you'll listen, tune in, I'm going to tell you. We drink of the Spirit when we, in obedience to our shepherd, yield our lives to the Holy Spirit's control. There's where true joy and satisfaction comes from. When I'm no longer living for myself, I'm no longer depending upon myself, it's not what I can do, but I'm yielding myself in obedience to God, to the Holy Spirit, to have control of my life. The Bible said, "Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." A satisfied Christian is a Spirit-filled Christian. That's what it is. It's a person that has understood the Spirit-filled life. And that's not, listen, that doesn't mean that I go to work, go to church, and that I go to work and I'm sanctimonious and I walk into work, amen, and I walk around with a pious look. No, I'm just spiritually normal. That's right. It doesn't mean that I'm sitting on my job and have some kind of fit, jumping and up and down and shouting and screaming. No, it's just spiritually normal. I go about the routines of my life, but there's something radically different because God's in me. And God's at work in me. And God's enabling me. And God is working through me. Does that make sense? Listen, let me just tell you something. If God's in control of you, He'll show through in your life. You won't have to let anybody know necessarily. They'll see Him. Just in how you handle things. Just in how you respond to life. You'll be different. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is everything that you need? We don't have to turn there, but you can jot it down in the margin of your notes. Galatians 5, 22 and 23, what everybody needs. It's called the fruit of the Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. I need to love. I need to love my wife more. I need to love my children more. I need to love others more. You know, God never tells me to love in my love, but His love. It's His love through me. It's His love through you. Everybody needs to love more, don't we? We need the love of God flowing through our lives and lives of others. Listen to this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. The first three things that we've talked about, peace, satisfaction, happiness, right there it is. Love, joy, peace. It's mine. Because of the well that's inside of me called the Spirit of God. And when I yield to Him, that can come out of my life. I can hear a mom saying, "Preacher, I just need patience." Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is long-suffering, it's patience. I couldn't imagine being a mom for 5 seconds. Not 5 seconds. All I have to do to remember what it was like is just come into my office on Monday morning and there's about 20 screaming 1-year-olds in the room next to me, and you hear them coming through the wall. Sometimes you think they are coming through the wall. You really do. Now, I'm glad for what we're doing because we're impacting those little lives and impacting their families, and I'm grateful for that. But I'm sitting there and I'm hearing the workers, it's going to be okay. And I'm thinking, boy, if I had you, I'd hang you on a nail and, you know. Because that's how a man thinks. That's not how a woman thinks. You know, we think different. You know. Patience. How many would say, you know, I have to lift your hand, I need patience. Listen, the Holy Spirit has patience. Gentleness. Let me just tell you something, men. You can be tough and tender at the same time. I don't have to be a brute. I can be kind. I can be gentle. But yet I can still be a masculine man because of the Holy Spirit. I need His goodness. Don't you think God wants us to be good? I need His goodness. The Holy Spirit's goodness, He's faith, He's meekness, He's all these things. Christian, listen, you can't drink of the Holy Spirit. You can't drink of the Spirit and drink from the dirty wells of the world at the same time. You can't. He can't fill us with His presence, His peace, His satisfaction if we're wallowing in the wells the world has to offer. Can't do it. Listen, sheep don't always follow the shepherd. You're going to see that in the next verse. Matter of fact, of Psalm 23. Matter of fact, there's times they stray. There's times they stubbornly drink from muddy, polluted pools. On the way to the still waters, they're thirsty and they're thinking, oh, there's a mud puddle. I'm going to drink out of that. There's some water. My shepherd hadn't provided it, but looky, there it is. And I'm going to drink of that water. Not long, they got parasites. They're bloated. They're sick. And it's all because they strayed from the shepherd and they stubbornly drunk from a pool of water He didn't provide. Rather than the clean, still waters provided by their shepherd, they're drinking of the polluted puddles along the pathway. And it's not long till they're now restless again and they're dissatisfied and they're empty because they're sick. And you know what? There's times when we get like that as Christians. You know what? Many times it's an evidence that we've strayed from the shepherd and we're drinking out of the wrong pools. He's not going to lead you there. He's not going to lead me there. And we need to be restored. And at those times, our loving shepherd restores our souls. He forgives our sin, our failure. He brings cleansing, just like that shepherd would take that sick sheep that's drinking out of a polluted puddle, and he'll begin to doctor that sheep and restore that sheep and help that sheep and bring it back to health again. So, dear Christian, listen, if you're here today and you've strayed from the shepherd and you're drinking out of the wrong pools, listen, He wants to restore your soul and clean you up and set you back on the right path again. And He wants you to go back to the still waters of His Spirit and drink that you know as love and joy and peace and gentleness and meekness and kindness. He wants to lead us this morning to the still waters of His salvation, the still waters of His Spirit, and thirdly and lastly, He wants to lead us to the still waters of His sufficiency. Amen. His sufficiency. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There's not anything I need that I'll lack when He's my shepherd. Do you believe that today? Do you live that in your life? Are you making that a reality? Do you live Psalm 23? Am I living Psalm 23, or do I just know it? I'm going to take you to one more verse. It's going to take you a little bit of work to find it, okay? Because we don't go there very often. All right? So if you can't find it, it's okay. All right? It's all right. But you can jot it down. Lamentations. Now, if you'll find the great big book of Jeremiah in the Old Testament and the great big book of Ezekiel, it's right in between. And it's a poem that Jeremiah wrote about the destruction of Jerusalem, but in it is the sufficiency of God. Would you turn there to Lamentations chapter number 3? I know I don't normally have us turn to a lot of scriptures, but I thought I wanted you to see the wells. I wanted you to see the still waters. I wanted you to see the water sources of God. The water source of His salvation. He's got a well that you can drink of, a friend of forgiveness. It's the well of relationship. It's the well of knowing your sins are forgiven, your name's written in heaven, that heaven one day is going to you. And friend, listen, I can promise you, you want to go to heaven. You want to. The well of His Spirit who continually becomes an artesian well that can fill our lives with God's good things that will flow out into the lives of others. But then there's the well of His sufficiency. Look, if you would, Lamentations chapter 3 and verse number 22. Jeremiah is talking about God's judgment upon Israel because of their sins and rebellion and their wickedness. And he's going to make a statement. Look at what he says, Lamentations chapter 3. I love these verses. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. Because His compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Will you underline those three words, new every morning? I'm going to come back to them. Great is Thy faithfulness. I just want you to know I've got a faithful shepherd today. Those three words, that phrase, new every morning, spoke of the heavy dew. Israel in that day was known for a heavy dew in between the rains. It didn't rain all the time like it does here. There was the early rains when they would plant the harvest, and then there was the latter rains when they would plant the field in the early rain. They'd harvest in the latter rain, and in between the crops were watered through irrigation and dew, a heavy dew that would come down upon the grass and upon the vegetation. And the word new every morning is a phrase that spoke of the dew-drenched grass with its freshness. That's what it is. You know, we don't think about dew today. If anything, we walk through wet grass and we think, oh, my feet are wet. Let me just tell you something. If you're a farmer, you love dew. You love it. If you were an Israelite farmer in that agricultural society, if you were a shepherd, you loved dew. Do you know that much of a sheep's water needs were met as they feasted on the heavy dew-drenched grass in the green pastures that they would eat in that was provided by the shepherd? It spoke of sufficiency because it's new every morning. You know what? In that day, they just woke up and there was the dew. It was fresh from heaven every morning on the grass. Isn't that wonderful? We sure don't think like that today, do we? Times we as the Lord's sheep go through rough patches in life, and maybe you're going through one. I've always tried to put names to them, but you know I can't put all the names on all the needs that are in this congregation this morning. But can I tell you, the same shepherd who can lead to the well of salvation and the well of His Spirit is the same one that can lead you to the still waters of His sufficiency to meet whatever needs you're going through. I just want to say something to you, Christian. There's times that life saps us of strength. We don't feel like we can make it. We don't feel like we can go on. Sometimes there's even Christians that'll take their lives because they don't feel like they can take another step. I just want to tell you something, friend. You're going to make it. Do you know the day that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, there was a promise given to me in Philippians 1:6 that says, He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. When God set my feet on the glory road, friend, He didn't promise me that there wouldn't be rough patches. He didn't promise me there wouldn't be valleys to go into and mountains to climb. He didn't say that, but here's what He did promise me, that when I started on that path, I'm going to step out safe on the other side. Amen?
Yes, sir.
We don't know what we're going to go through between here and there, but I'm here to tell you, friend, it's of the Lord's mercies we're not consumed. I'm going to make it because of the mercy of God. I'm going to make it because of the goodness of God. I'm going to make it because of the grace of God. I need to look to the shepherd. I need to follow the shepherd. I need to call on the shepherd. I've got good news for you. As one of the Lord's sheep, you will make it. You can make it. That's why the God says, let us come therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. They're new every morning. Did you catch that? His compassions fail not. His mercies, His compassions, mercy and grace. You're going to see them again in Psalm 23. The sheepdog of His mercy and grace. He said, in the end of that, where He says that they'll follow Him all the days of His life, goodness and mercy. Grace and mercy. Isn't that good? And I can find grace to help in time of need. I'm glad in those times when life's hard and empty and barren and I feel restless and dissatisfied, that I can wade out into the dew-drenched pastures of this book and let Him lead me beside His still waters.
Amen.
And I can begin to munch on the dew-drenched grass and let the Holy Spirit of God whisper sweet peace to my soul and tell me it's okay. And I'm going to make it. And He's with me. And He's not going to fail me. And He's the answer to what I'm going through in my life. And I may not see it all, but I know He's faithful. And friends, sometimes, Christian, listen to me, all we can do is anchor ourselves to the faithfulness of God and His promises. But it's during those times that the Good Shepherd will come and the Great Shepherd will come and whisper sweet peace to your heart. We can go time and time again to the well that never runs dry. Did you know that? They fail not. We're not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning like the dew-drenched grass. Great is Thy faithfulness. I'm glad that well never runs dry. Every morning I can get up and I can get a fresh supply of His mercy, a fresh supply of His grace, giving me the strength to go on, to follow Him, to be what He wants me to be, to live life to the glory of God. Friend, listen, the wells of this world will all eventually run dry. But this well, God's wells will never run dry. That's why He can lead me time and time again to the still waters. I never got over the night I drank out of the well of salvation. It's brought joy to my heart ever since. I've never had to thirst again, never had to go to another well. I'm not saying I'm not drunk from some mud puddles, because I have. I get sick. I'm not talking about physical. I'm talking about sick in here. Guilt, dissatisfaction, restless. That's what bitterness will do to you. It's what anger will do to you. It's what jealousy will do. See, we can talk about the well of drunkenness and the well of opioid addiction and the well of pornography and the well of perverseness and adultery. We can talk about all those wells. What about the well of unforgiveness and jealousy and bitterness and covetousness, pride, and unforgiveness, selfishness, self-will, resistance, criticism, on and on and on we go. And suddenly I get dissatisfied inside. I'm sick. The parasite of sin is bloating me spiritually. Discomfort. Then I can come to the well of His forgiveness. I can find grace and mercy. I can find His restoration. I can find His healing. I can go back to the good well, the still waters. And when I hurt, I can go to the well of His compassion. I can go to the well of His mercy. They're new every morning. Every day there's a fresh supply.
Amen.
He's faithful. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Friend, maybe today you need to drink of the well of salvation. Maybe you need to quit doing it your way. How's your way working? You say, preacher, ain't working real good. Why don't you come to Him? Why don't you try His way? Today, why don't you call on Him? Why don't you trust Him as your Savior? Why don't you let somebody take a Bible and show you how you can know Him and your sins forgiven? the hope of heaven. Would you do that? He'll set you on a different path. You'll have joy in your heart like you've never had before. I invite you to come to Him today. Christian, let me ask you a quick question. What kind of well are you drinking out of? What's characterizing you today? Are you bloated spiritually? Discomfort, dissatisfied, restless. You may have strayed from the shepherd and you need to come back to the still waters today. You need to find restoration and cleansing and forgiveness and hope. Maybe you're hurting. And maybe you're in the rough patch of life. And you need the still water of His sufficiency. I'm going to invite you to it today. He's sufficient. He's sufficient. Let's bow our heads in prayer.